So last week, our vacation Bible school met out at Camp Lutherland, and I am told, I did not get to witness this with my own eyes, but I am told that one of the most popular activities with the youngest group involved magnifying glasses. The kids would be led out a short distance into the woods where they were given small magnifying glasses and invited to use them on natural wonders so that they could see up close things that our eyes cannot see on a regular, just without additional magnifying help. So, for example, the veins on a leaf, spectacular. Or the details on a tree's bark. We don't pay attention to all the ridges and the lines and the colors, the veins, because our eyes are not used to looking up that close. They're not fit for seeing such detail. But with a magnifying glass? Magnifying glasses change nothing at all about the things that we look at with them. But the curved lenses, the refraction of light, make those things appear bigger to our eyes so that we simply cannot miss the details. And so in the case of our VBS kids, the magnifying glasses helped draw them in to the wonders of God's creation. A magnifying glass, I think, is a good way to think about Mary, the mother of our Lord, whom we are remembering today. Today is a special day that the church sets aside to think about her and her importance to the life of our faith. Many Lutherans or others who have been raised in Protestant churches might be surprised to discover that the Lutheran church has a day when we set aside to focus on Mary. After all, a lot of us were taught that Roman Catholics were the ones that were devoted to Mary, and by sharp contrast, Protestants were not. But Lutherans have always acknowledged that the good news of Jesus, the gospel, comes into focus in everyday believers' lives. Not because they are by themselves especially holy, but because God chooses to work that way. And Mary is an extraordinarily good example of the gospel's focus. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You found favor with God, you will bear a son," she said, "Let it be with me according to your word," and gave Jesus birth. At the cross, she followed with the crowd of women and watched her own son suffer death on the cross. And when the disciples heard that he was risen, a new birth into a totally different kind of life, she was there. Magnify God. That is what Mary does for us. Mary sang in the words that I just read, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." My soul magnifies. Sometimes translated, my soul proclaims God's greatness. My soul makes God big. Not because a magnifying glass can change anything about God as God is, but so that we, whose eyes are not always tuned to see God at work in our world, so that we can see and rejoice like her. And so she invites us to wonder at the divine details that we might otherwise miss. The song that she sings in today's gospel reading names these wonders: that God favors humility, that God is at work filling hungry people, but sending the rich and the haughty empty away, that God will scatter the proud and the conceit of their hearts, that God is at work fulfilling all God's promises. What's extraordinary about this song of favor is that Mary makes very clear that all the grace, all the favor comes from God's side. It's from God's choice. Mary didn't do anything to win or earn that favor. God picked her just because. She's lowly, she says of herself. Though we do not have any idea exactly what that means. We don't know whether she was a good worker or whether she was lazy. We do not know whether she could have won a blue ribbon for her olives at Nazareth's equivalent of the farm show, or whether she just grew what she could. We don't know if she came from a good family and if she knew how to swaddle a baby. We believe that she was young and poor, because most people were poor in that place and at that time. We know that she was living in a country that was under occupation by the most powerful army the world had ever seen, and that she was likely a regular witness to state terror. Her own son's crucifixion would not have been the first. Knowing what we know about poor women in that time and in ours, if we're to be honest, we can gather that she was at the bottom of the social ladder, unless she married and produced children, and that the empire's decisions and her community's decisions and even her own religious community's deliberations were not always made with her needs in mind. But God picks her. God picks her to bear the most amazing love ever known in the world. God picks her as witness, as that love is reborn under the most painful circumstances. If you have ever grieved someone you loved, then you know that this is not a blessing, as we casually imagine blessings to be. On Easter morning, it became the blessing of overwhelming love and life. God picked her as among the first to witness resurrection, the first to lay hands on the life that awaits us all in the fullness of time. But before that happened, Mary knew that God was turning the world upside down and magnified it. The song we just heard comes from the moment when she, just pregnant, is visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Look at what God is doing, she sings. God is helping us. God is fulfilling God's promises. God is giving me cause to rejoice. And so look through that magnifying glass. Because the reality of our world is that we are not used to unmerited grace and favor. Not for anyone, and particularly not for those who are at the lowest rung of the ladder. In our world, help just doesn't get given away freely. You have to apply for it, prove that you're worthy of it, write grants for it. In our world, we bestow the shiniest honors on those who are able to produce the best work. And yes, I spent hours at the farm show yesterday, so I am thinking about the blue ribbons on the bunny cages. In our world, if you've created a company that earned you $70 billion, you can fly yourself into space. You've earned it, after all. Earning is what we get in the logic of our world. It's what we're used to seeing. And apart from the gospel, we would think that that is just how reality is. Which is why it's such good news that Mary comes and sings and magnifies God for us today. Because through her lens, we see that there is a different order of things. There is a reality that our naked eyes, our sinful minds cannot imagine, but which God reveals through word and sign. Look closely through Mary and see. God works by grace and favor without forcing us to earn it. With God, the rich cannot pay for a space at the table. If we try, God will send us away. Because that's not how God works. With God, lowly girls become queens of heaven, for God casts the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. God is not looking to what we've earned or what we're worth. God is interested instead in our need. Through Mary's magnifying glass, you can see it. Who is God? God is the helper of those who need help. That is who God is. Those of us who made our way through the classic cars today will in a few minutes gather around the altar for Holy Communion. It's not a table for those who are worthy or who have earned a spot. Everyone here gets the same regardless of your bank account. To our eyes, it would appear that what we get around this table is not very much. It's a scrap of bread and a sip of wine. But if you look through Mary's magnifying glass, you'll see that this is the place where the Magnificat, her song, becomes real, where God breaks into the world yet again and allows us to see rightly. Hear those who are hungry for connection, for forgiveness, for hope will be filled. For God promises to be here, and God remembers his promise of mercy. And that need is why the sacrament always will travel. The other thing that we did, that some of us did, our older kids for Vacation Bible School, is we took some trips to places where the sacrament is always, where the sacrament is celebrated outside of this building, at nursing homes and in the prison. And we went down to Diamond Park to remember those who served in our armed forces and how there are chaplains there who continue to celebrate the sacrament, because what matters is our need. And that is why I will always announce again and again, if you need to receive, if you've been worshiping on Zoom, we will find a way to get this scrap of bread and sip of wine to you, because it is the riches of God's mercy and God's grace. Now, it is also the case that anyone can come forward, even people who think that they don't need these things, forgiveness and mercy and grace or connection. But it won't seem like very much is happening. The scrap and the sip will lead only to emptiness. But for those who trust in God's word, what is here for you is nothing less than the grace that was given by God to Mary in the birth of her son and in his rising from the dead. God, help us, like her, to know our need and see the world through the lens of your love and your help. Amen.